Thank you, Pastor Denise. Yes, it is. I said I wanted a new preaching shirt, and this is what they got me. So, yeah. I noticed when she said, isn't he handsome, there wasn't much. So that's all right. I took note of everyone who cheered and everyone who didn't. Well, good morning. It's good to be here today. The bad news is the clock up the back is broken. So I don't know how long this is going to go for today. You're watching. Yeah. Pastor Rob's got the timer and he's going to ring the bell. Yeah. 5 minutes. Good luck. Good luck. This morning, I'm going to share a lot of scripture and then I'm going to make a few points and then I'm going to tell some stories at the end. I plan to get a little bit vulnerable today, share some examples from my own life, so don't judge me, don't use them against me. I'm just thought that's the way we'd go today. And I'm going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 24. For all those playing along at home, welcome to all those watching online. There's people that watch from different countries, I didn't even know that. Someone was telling me the other day they've got relatives watching overseas, so g'day. It's nice to have you, Mackay, with us today. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of scripture up front this morning. So I hope you're not opposed to that. It says, after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, or Philistines, wherever you're from, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi, or En-Gedi, who knows. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the Crags of the Wild Goats. I think that's a cool name, the Crags of the Wild Goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way, a cave was there. And Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken, for having cut off a corner of his robe, he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is anointed of the Lord. And David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. That's an interesting story. I don't know if you know, Martha, I spoke a little bit about David last time, but Saul turned into someone who was a little bit jealous of David. David was anointed to be the next king. Saul was the current king. And David was anointed as a teenager, as a very young man. Well, scholars say that David didn't actually become king maybe until he was 40 years old. That's a long time to be waiting, isn't it? Particularly under a leader that you don't think is very good. Who a leader who's out to harm you and destroy you and is jealous of you. You know, average life expectancy in those days was about 40 years old. Can you imagine waiting that long thinking, hey God, I'm about to die any day. You know that promise? Could you hurry up with that? Yeah? Interesting story. Here's one in Genesis chapter 9. It says, Noah, a man of the soil. I don't really know what that means, a man of the soil. Someone can research that. Proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backwards and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so they would not see their father naked. I've skipped a little bit there, but it says that Noah woke up angry when he heard of what Ham had done. And he said, cursed be Canaan, the lowest of the slaves will he be to his brothers. And then he pronounces a blessing on Shem and Japheth. Again, we've got another leader who maybe is not that good. They've let some people down here. They've fallen short. And you've got one person who kind of takes advantage of that, tells everyone, have you seen Father? Have you seen how he's disgraced himself? And yet you've got two sons who decide, you know what, we're not going to be like that. And they take in a garment and they walk in backwards And without looking, they cover their father's nakedness and they move on. Interesting story, isn't it? So in case you haven't guessed this morning, preaching a little bit about honor and submission to authority today. And I just want to preface this and say that Pastor Rob has not asked me to speak on this today. In fact, Pastor Rob has never given me any guidance on what I can and can't say on a Sunday. The only thing he ever does is tap his watch every now and then. No, he doesn't. So he doesn't know. He's not asked me. Pastor Kane didn't ask me with Extreme coming up. He didn't ask me to speak on this. It was Pastor Cheryl who... No, Pastor Cheryl didn't ask me. Nobody has asked me. And in fact, and I'm not even preaching this because I feel like there's a big problem in our church. I just feel like it was on my heart to share this morning. So if you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, I didn't have you in mind. I don't have your photo on the wall at my house thinking I'm going to get them this Sunday. You watch. I'm going to give them a good... felt like to share this morning. And last time up as well, I spoke about that, but I also spoke about the book of Ephesians. And it's interesting in the book of Ephesians, I shared it to you how it is like the book of war, they call it, written to the church in Ephesus with Timothy leading that church there. That church grew in the face of unreal opposition. It was an evil place to be. It was persecution, there's all sorts of things. The temple of Diana was there and it was a very worldly city, and yet that church grew and advanced, and the gospel advanced in that place, and many people came to know Christ. And that book that's written to Ephesians, Paul writes that. Those first three chapters in the book of Ephesians, if you're ever feeling down, if you're ever wondering who you are in Christ, you need to go read the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. It is like the best. I say every bit's my favorite in the Bible, but maybe those three chapters today are my favorite three chapters in the entire Bible. There's things there like, you know, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. You are forgiven. You have remission of sins. You are adopted in. You have an inheritance. You need to know the love and the depth of how much Christ loves you. And there's so much power inside you that you can do more than you can think and imagine. It's just the most amazing three chapters to go and read. And like most of Paul's epistles, the first half of what he writes is always like the theology. It's always like the doctrine. It's always like, this is what we believe. This is who you are. And then the next half, or the latter portion, is always the application, yeah? This is what we believe, and this is what you need to know. And now that you know that, this is how you need to live. This is how you need what you need to go and do. And I don't know about you, but I read the first three chapters of Ephesians, and I get real excited. I get real pumped up, because I read that, and I've won so much through the death and resurrection of Christ, yeah? I've got my feet on solid ground. And I'm waiting for this application. I'm thinking he's about to tell me that based on what he's just said, it's time to go and heal the sick. It is time to go and raise the dead. It is time to go and cast out demons. It's time to go and occupy. It's time to go and advance. It's time. You know, I'm just getting so excited. That's what the application is going to be of what he's just told me. My place is in Christ. But then I start reading it. And this is what he says I need to do in light of what he's just said. You need to go and humble yourselves. You need to go and forgive each other. Those of you who are stealing need to stop. Those of you who, you know, maybe have anger issues in your life, you need to not let the sun go down on your anger. You need to bear with one another. You need to stay away from coarse jesting and foolish talk, and you need to walk humbly and submit to one another. And I'm just thinking, really? That's the application? This is the book of war? This is how we win? It's not about all those other things are great, but this is how we win? And this is something that he brings up multiple times in the latter half of Ephesians. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. That's how we win? That's how we advance the kingdom? This is how we overcome the enemy? Now that I know who I am in Christ, This is the outworking of it in my daily living. Submission to one another. Bearing with one another in love. That surprised me a little bit. I can see by the silence you're all shocked as well. Yeah. See, Paul, I love Paul. Paul always gets it right. That's why it's in the scripture, because, you know, the Bible's infallible and it's the Word of God. And Paul, he always gets it right. See, he says, you know, this is the order. You are this. You are forgiven. You are set free. You are adopted in. Now you're empowered to live like this. Sometimes we preach it the wrong way around. Do all this, do all this, do all this, and then you'll be forgiven, yeah? But that's not what Paul does. You are this. You are forgiven. You are set free. And this is how it works out in your life, yeah? As someone who's redeemed, loved, blessed with every spiritual blessing, I now can walk in submission to one another and submit to those in authority and honor those in authority in my life. And lest you think that this is just one particular letter written to one particular church as if they had one big issue and we should just leave it there, well, Paul's not the only one who brings this up. It's all over the New Testament. 1 Peter says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Can I just say that again? Also to the unjust. Romans chapter 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Can I just say that? There is no authority except from God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. You know, he's writing this letter to people that are suffering intense persecution. In fact, if you got up and said that God is Lord and not Caesar, you get put to death over there, yeah? He's not saying deny Christ, but he's not saying that, hey, these are really nice people. Titus chapter 3 says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Hebrews chapter 13, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And 1 Peter 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. This is the one that older brothers and sisters like to use against their younger brothers and sisters, yeah? Submit to your elders, all right? I don't know if that's in context, but they use it anyway. You get the feeling that this is a big deal? I mean, when God ensures something's in there multiple times and multiple places, it's kind of important. It's not just one little thing written to one little church because they're having a specific issue. It's for everyone. See, I see four levels there of authority that we need to submit to and honor. One is the authority in the home. One's the authority in your workplace. Slaves and masters, yeah? One's the authority in civil society, the governing authorities, the supreme leaders, the politicians, the police. And the last one is the authority in the church, the elders and the overseers, yeah? All authority is ordained by God. Doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean it's great. Some of it's unjust. But all authority is ordained by God. And the heart of God is really clear when he gives these scriptures and when he gives these encouragements. Multiple times he'll say, you need to do this because it will go well with you, yeah? You'll have a long and joyful life if you do this. If you don't do this, you may have a long life, but it won't be enjoyable, yeah? You need to do this so that you'll be ready for every good work, it says in Titus. In Hebrews it said, you need to do this and not disobey, for that would be of no advantage to you. See, God doesn't make up these things just because he wants everyone controlled and put in their place. He's designed you. He knows what's good for us. He knows what's good for the world. And his heart behind these sorts of principles and these sorts of commands is that he wants you to prosper and be effective and move forward in your life. and rebellion, arrogance, not submitting to those that God has placed in your life, it just never ends well. It just never ends well for you or for them. Here's the big point today. If you don't submit to people, you're not submitted to God. Can I just say that? If you don't submit to people, you're not submitted to God. You see, it's like love. A lot of things are like this as well. God is not physically here with me right now. Like, I've never physically shaken God's hand. I've never made him a coffee. I've never physically heard him speak to me. Yet I still want to express my love to God. True? Well, the Bible makes it clear that probably the best way to express your love for God is to love people. It says, if you claim you love God, yet you don't love your brother. You want to finish that one for me? You're a liar, yeah? The love of God is not in you. It says, if you come and sing all the songs and throw your hands up and worship, and we think, oh, just loving on God. Yeah, sure, you're just not loving music. Ouch, that hurt. And yet you drive past all the people that need your help, and you're feuding with that person, you're bitter against that person, you haven't forgiven that person. Really? Which one is a greater example of the love of God? The Bible says to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah? And then it says the second commandment is like it. It's very similar. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. Jesus told a story. It says, you know, splits up the sheep and the goats. Those who visited someone in prison. Those who welcomed the stranger. Those who fed those who were hungry. It says, whatever you did for those, the least of these, you did for who? You did for me. You don't love God without loving people. It's just, that's. I love God so much, I'm thinking, how can I love you, God? What can I do? I know. I'll go and love someone as an expression of my love for God. Well, submission is exactly the same. Many things are the same. As an expression of my submission and my humility before God, I humble myself and I submit myself to the God-ordained authority in those four areas of my life. As a child, I honor and submit to my mother and father, particularly while I lived in their home. It wasn't easy sometimes. I was kind of blessed that I had an older brother who broke all the rules and I could learn from all the mistakes he made. Yeah? I didn't need to make those mistakes myself. I still made my own. But, you know, I honor and submit to them. I honor and submit to my boss at work. Doesn't always do things the way that I would do them. You know what? Sometimes I think I know better. I tell my wife about it all the time. Hope he's not watching. No. But I honor and submit to those in authority at work. Politically. I mean, these days are very divisive, yeah? And I'm not really preaching this as a political message. But I'm just saying, that may not be the person you voted for who's in charge at any level. But I honor and submit to the rules and in the church as well. And as I move on, can I just preface it with this? I've used that word twice. I never say the word preface, Kane. Yeah, it's nice. You going to use it? Yeah. Cool. Anyway, let me just say this. Before I move on to my points, I know you're all thinking, but what about when they're totally evil? What about when that's totally contrary to the Word of God? But yes, okay? Look, we honor and submit to our leaders, but we never excuse illegal behavior or abusive behavior or gross immoral behavior. Can I just say that? If there's a leader in your life who's acting illegally or is abusive or grossly immoral, you need to deal with that through the proper channels. Facebook is not the proper channel, okay? All right? Blabbing to all your friends is not the proper channel. But, you know, it's godly to confront that. We don't excuse that kind of behavior. Can I just say that, make that clear? All right? We don't just say, all right, well, no, the Bible says to honor and submit, so Sure, let's go rob a bank if you say that's what we've got to do, all right? No. But here's the points I want to make this morning in light of what we've read. I'm sorry to the person who's doing the words this morning. Who is it? Give me a wave. No? Okay, fine. Yeah, no, that's good. Can you go to the last slide? Is that all right? Can we skip to the last one? Good, because I'm going to go backwards. Honor and submission, at the heart of it, are issues of trust. Think about David. David, as I said, as a young teenager, is anointed the next king of Israel. He has opportunities throughout that waiting period to make it happen himself, doesn't he? In fact, we just read about one where his men are urging him, this is the moment. Go and make it happen. Go and take him down. God has got a call on your life. You've been promised to move forward, to be the man. Make it happen. But honor and submission to authority is about issues of trust. Not trust in them, trust in God. David trusted God. That God was good enough to fulfill his promise to him. And that he could still live with integrity and can still honor and submit to a bad leader, yeah? And God would still fulfill the call and the promises that he had for him. I want to speak to some people this morning. Maybe you find yourself in a situation with a leader that's hard to deal with. And it could be in any sphere. Your submission to them is not a validation of their leadership. It's not an endorsement of how great their leadership is. Your submission and honor of them is an act of trust and faith in God. That you can have a leader in your life like David did, who is actually hell-bent on taking you out. Who's actually hell-bent on stopping the call of God. Who's actually in total opposition to what God wants in your life, and yet you can still remain in that situation and trust in God that he's bigger than the leader and God will make it come to pass. Amen? Honor and submission is about trust in God. Issues of trust. Can you trust him even in circumstances where you feel like things are against you? You know, we've got... Like I said, I don't think honor is a big issue in this church. Like I said, it's not why I'm preaching this, but I do think it is an issue in the wider church. It's a huge issue. I think this issue has probably taken more people out and rendered more people ineffective than moral failure or greed or, you know, lust for the world. I reckon this issue takes way more people out. Because there are so many who just think they know. That's not the way I would do it. I don't need to submit to people, I'm submitted to God. No, you're not submitted to God. You are your God. That's what's really going on. If you were submitted to God, you'd read Scripture and do what the Scripture says. It's an issue of trust. Do you really trust Him? That He can come through. Even when there's a bad leader, it seems between you and your destiny. Not only... an issue of trust between you and God, but can God trust you? Can God trust you? Is he going to promote you when there's that issue in your heart of rebellion? All of a sudden, he's going to give you some responsibility and it might not end well. When he couldn't trust you, when he had oversight over you, what's going to happen when you're free of that oversight? Yeah? There are issues of trust. Honor and submission are easy until you've been let down. Anyone ever been let down by a leader? Thousands of hands. No hands. That's good. All right. Anyone ever been let down by a leader? I tell you what, it can get difficult when you've been let down, particularly in church, because church leaders should know better, shouldn't they? I mean, church leaders are not allowed to have any faults. They're not allowed to make any mistakes. Tell you what, church leaders are very human people. I'm a pastor's kid, all right? I don't know, my parents, gosh. No, they're watching. No. I saw all the warts and all. But you know what, church leaders? Some of them can be irritable. No one here, but some of them can be irritable. Some can be arrogant. Some can be inconsistent. They can be task-oriented. They can be uncaring. Some of them can be too caring. Some of them don't listen. Some of them listen too much. Some of them are going through issues in their own life, heaven forbid. Yeah? Some of them, they're just human. They're just frail. They're just trying to work out their own salvation like you are, yeah? And they make a lot of mistakes. You ever been hurt by a church leader? I got hurt once, just once, no. I got hurt. I was a youth leader, and I tried my best to be like at everything and do everything. I was like the dog's body. Like, I believe in serving in church. I don't know how you can just come to church and go home. To me, that's not really being part of the church. I believe in getting in and getting your hands dirty, right? So I believe in serving in church. So as a young age, even in high school, grade 11 and 12, I was at every event doing everything I can. As soon as I got a license, I was picking kids up and dropping kids home. And I remember we had this youth pastor, and I love my youth pastor and his wife. And I was like the number one guy they could count, and this is what I wanted to be. I was just working my fingers to the bone, doing whatever I could, because I believed in serving God and serving the leader and just getting in, right? And what else is there to do in life? I don't know. So I'm doing that. Anyway, we organized this event. We're going to go to Crystal Creek. It's like going to Finch Hatton for the day. See, I'm a local. I know all the places, all right? And they're all meeting at my house. It's a two-story house. And I'm there, say we're like leaving at 2 o'clock or something, and I'm sitting upstairs, and it's like 2:05, and there's only like 4 or 5 of us there. And we're expecting like 30, 40 people to rock up. You know, we're all going to get in cars and go on the drive. And I'm sitting up there, and it's like 10 past, and I'm looking at the clock. This is before the days of Facebook Messenger and all the other things the kids are using these days. In fact, it's like 2001. I don't even know if I had a mobile phone. Like, if I did, it was black and white. And we were sitting around, and I'm just thinking, maybe nobody's coming. And I start saying to the guys, like, do you guys, I guess we'll just go, hey? Like, the five of us, do you want to go? Like, I'll go if you want to go. Like, we're expecting a lot. I mean, we can wait another 5, but I don't know. Should we, do you just want to stay and what, play a board game or something? Well, that's what we did back then. We didn't have other stuff. Do you want to go? And we're looking, and it's about 2:15, and someone knocks on the door. Ivan says, what are you guys doing up here? Everyone's outside waiting. It's a true story. And I go out to the window, and I couldn't believe it. There's like 30 people on my front lawn. I'm like, how did I not hear that? Like, it was the middle of summer. The AC was going. I was like, I don't know. It was weird. I didn't hear anything. Anyway, we all went, had a great day. I go to the youth leaders meeting on Tuesday night. It's at the youth pastor's house. We're all sitting around, and the youth pastor says, hey, it was brought to my attention that we organized this big trip to go to Crystal Creek, and there were some youth leaders who sat upstairs spreading negative vibes, saying they didn't want to go. And I'm really disappointed. And if that kind of stuff happens again, you'll be off the team. And I'm looking around at the group, and I'm thinking, I'm the only one in the room who was upstairs. Like, I think he's talking about me. He is talking about me. Think, you know, like everyone's got their head down, like, and they all know he's talking about me. Like, and I'm like 18 years of age, and if I was more mature, like now, I'd just kind of speak up and go, well, that's not what actually happened. But I was hurt. I was upset. He's just, all the stuff I do for this guy. Like, I'm the one who does everything around here. Like, I'm the guy who's, he just, what? Man, I get home and I couldn't sleep, and I'm just, I'm telling God how bad of a leader this guy is. Like, can you believe the nerve of this person? And I'm hurt and offended. I don't want to serve this guy ever again. All right, I'm not going to do anything for this person. He's hurt me. You know, leaders hurt us all the time. And sometimes it's not what they do, it's what they don't do. You know the leader that doesn't call when you need it? That didn't visit when you were sick? When you were going through a rough time and all they ever called, the only reason they called is and they want you to do something? Sometimes it's what they don't do, yeah? And I was, So anyway, I thought I'd pray. I mean, you should do that. I'm shaking my head, but I thought I'd pray. And you know what? God helped me through that. And this is what I decided to do. I decided to get on Facebook. No, I decided I'm going to write him a letter. You let me down. No, I didn't write that up. I rubbed that out. Can't believe that. No, this is what I wrote. It said, Pastor, insert name. Just want to say, I totally appreciate all the things you've been doing for me this year. I honour you and I love you and your wife. Next year, because it's coming to the end of the year, next year, I want to double my effort. Anything you need, you can count on me. I want me to be the first person you call for that job that you don't think anyone will do. Call me. Love you. Honour you. It's going to be awesome. All the best, yeah? I drove around, put in his letterbox, and that was it. You know what? I felt like I didn't actually need to confront him about it. It wasn't a pattern of behaviour. I felt like I could get over it without having to whinge about it. If it was something more serious, maybe I would have needed to confront. Maybe I would have needed to chat to someone, but it wasn't. It wasn't a pattern. It wasn't anything like that. He's just human. Somebody gave him some bad information. He just, yeah. And I just wrote that and I moved on. That's it. It was hard for a little bit. But until I wrote that letter, it's kind of like God just all drained out of me. I decided I'm going to let my pastor be human and make mistakes. And I'm not going to hold him account for just those little things that he gets wrong from time to time. I'm going to honour and submit to my leader. And I moved on. Tell you what, we had many more great years in that youth ministry. And guess who became the youth pastor when he moved on? Me, all right? It's before I got married. So you honour and you submit, God honours that, yeah? God honours that. It's easy until you get hurt. But once you get hurt, you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision. My final point, which was my first point, it's easy until you disagree. Where's the worship team? Come on, worship team. It's easy until you disagree. Now, this can be difficult. I don't know if you've ever had to submit in any area of your life for a bad boss or someone that you think is incompetent, someone that you think is always out to get you, someone that you think is just bad. I used to think I was really good at the whole submission and honor thing. I thought I'd got over that when I was younger. I thought I'd never have an issue with that again. I know what to do now. If I get hurt, I'll just write a letter or something. I don't know. And I'm a pretty agreeable person. I like to get on with people, and so I've understood from a young age, if the leader says it, the leader says it. That's, if I've got a problem with them, I'll take it up in the right channels, but otherwise the leader says it, you just move on. They've got to give account to God for their decisions, I give account to God for my heart and my decisions, yeah? Well, I thought that was going well, until God put a leader in my life who held a position in our church, and I began to struggle. And this went on, I'd like to just say for like a couple of months, but it went on for a couple of years. In fact, longer than 5 years. And my wife and I, we began to struggle together in our church. And I couldn't understand what was going on. And to be honest, the whole church began to struggle. We had people that we were serving together ever since I was a kid. Lifelong friends who decided that, you know what, this church isn't for them anymore. They packed up and left. And we really couldn't blame them. We didn't judge them. We knew where they were going. And we loved them just as much as we always loved them. But I don't know if you've been in church for a long while, but when someone leaves your church, you always say, you know, we're going to be best friends forever. But it's different. They're not next to you when you're serving the next Sunday. And a lot of your relationship is built together in the trenches, you know, like doing things and working together, and you still love them just as much, you just don't run into them anymore, and it kind of hurts a little bit. And we begin to look at each other and go, the church is struggling and people are leaving and it's just not fun anymore. And we begin to struggle. And we had conversations, we were kind of like, you know what, Are we meant to leave? Like, we can't leave. Like, we decided we weren't going to leave unless the angel Gabriel came and pointed the way out or something. But so, you know, we can't leave. We believe God's called us here. Like, this is our church. We're not going anywhere. Like, doesn't matter how bad it gets, we're not going anywhere. But occasionally we'd talk about maybe leaving town. Maybe Townsville's not for us anymore. Maybe this isn't our home anymore. Maybe we should leave. I'd go online, I'd look at job ads, and I'd get like through the third job, and I'd go, you know what? We're not going anywhere. Like, there's no jobs out there for $1 million anyway that I can do, so we're not going anywhere. But we would just struggle. It got to a point where, you know, some Sundays with this leader around, I don't really want to be there. I'd wake up on a Sunday morning and that had never happened to me before. I love church. You can't keep me away from church. If there was church on Monday, I'd send Lisa and the kids because I just think everyone should be at church. And I would go as well. I love church. I love being involved in church. I just think there's nothing else on the planet, no other institution, no other thing that God is. There's no plan B for the world. I mean, the church is it, yeah? Like, I love church. And here I am on a Sunday, I don't really want to be there. There'd be midweek stuff going on. I don't know if I want to go. We prayed and we're working through it, but nothing would change. Go 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, we still felt the same, just really struggling. And the leader wasn't evil. The leader wasn't doing anything abusive, weren't doing anything illegal, weren't doing anything immoral. Just a leader put into our life to help us grow, really. And we struggled. And I would love to say that I passed this test with flying colors. I reckon if we passed maybe a C+, I don't know, B-. C's get degrees, so. But there's a few things we kept doing. Because it's a trust issue between us and God. Even when things were tough, we kept giving. Always gave. Bible says where your treasure is, your heart is, yeah? Never stopped giving. We kept serving. Sometimes I had to paint the smile on my face. But we kept serving as best we could. And we avoided the murmurers and the moaners and the whingers and the whiners as best we could. Because some people serve, but then they go and, yeah? You know those? And there was plenty of this going on. You'd walk into a room and mouths would stop. Bit of this going on. So if I'm going to moan, I'm going to moan to my wife. That's why I married her. I wanted someone to moan to, all right? And I chose one friend who was not part of our church. She was a lifelong friend, a very mature Christian, and not subject to the same leadership that I could just be honest with and say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with, yeah? Someone that I knew wouldn't take on the offense. Someone that I knew wouldn't go, give me bad advice, or you need to get out of there. No, just someone that could listen. But I wasn't going to be a moaner and a murmurer and a whinger and a whiner. I want to be honest with people that I can trust. But I honor and I submit to the God-ordained leadership. That was God-ordained leadership. Even though the church was struggled and people were leaving, God knew what was going on the whole time, yeah? And I just said, you know what, I'm staying and we're going to give, we're going to serve, and we'll do it with a smile on our face. And eventually that season came to an end. See, no seasons last forever. There ain't no bad leader that can stop the call of God on your life from coming to pass. Did you know that? There's no bad leader that can stop the call and the dreams and the destiny God has for you. Here's what can disqualify you. You getting out when you shouldn't get out. You rebelling when you shouldn't rebel. You not submitting. Yeah, Bible says the meek inherit the earth. You not buckling under and saying, hey God, what are you trying to teach me here? What am I trying to learn here? And I'm not having a go at anyone who's left the church. Well, I've that. I'm not having a go at anyone who's done that. Okay, if you've left the church, you've left the workplace, you've left the whatever, not having a go at anyone who's been out there protesting with signs or anything like that. That's not what it's about. What it's about is you're here today and there's some leadership in your life today. How are you going with that? How are you going with that? This isn't the kind of sermon that I'm going to have an altar call for. I don't want a show of hands for people that are having trouble with a leader in their life right now, okay? I did think, though, that maybe there's going to be a lot of letters be written. Pastor Kane, you might get a lot of letters this week from... But I do want to ask some questions. When I started mentioning about leadership, whether it be in any sphere of your life, family, work, civil, church, or having struggled with a leader in your life, who was that person that came to your mind when I started talking that topic? Was there somebody that came to your mind? Don't nudge your husband. Who was it? How are you going in the test right now? Are you murmuring? Are you whinging? Are you looking for ways out? Or you're buckling on, you're buckling in, you're strapping in. You're saying, hey God, I trust you. I trust you. See, every time you go through this process, maybe you get hurt or something like that, the best question to ask is not how can I get them, is the best question to ask is why is that feeling that way? What's actually going on in my, why is this such a struggle for me? What has that unearthed in me that it's affected me like that? That's the way to grow. That's the way to get better. God in His wisdom has allowed earthly authority on the earth. Sometimes that's unjust, but He allows it. Sometimes it's incompetent, but He allows it. Sometimes it's fallible, it's bad, but He allows it. And sometimes it's not about what we do, but it's who we're becoming, yeah? He's more interested in what's going on in your heart with sometimes with how effective you're being in your ministry. And He'll allow these seasons to come because He wants to do a work in you. Yeah? And I want you to hear His heart. Right from the beginning, I said, hear His heart. The Holy Spirit today is saying to you, hey, on the other side of honor and submission, I've got such rewards. I've got such effectiveness. I've got such fruitfulness for you. I've got such plans for you. But it's on the other side. He's not doing this to crush you. He's not doing this to frustrate you. He's not doing this to upset you. He's doing this with a heart of, He wants all to go well for you. He wants you to be ready for every good work that He's made for you. He wants you to flourish and to prosper. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence in the house today. We thank You for Your grace, for Your encouragement. Lord, that You bear with us with all our faults and our failures. And Lord, You empower us to bear with each other, to submit to one another, to love one another, to speak the truth in love, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask if anyone today has identified things where they need to make some hard decisions, they need to change their mindset, they need to change their behavior. Lord God, we ask today, Holy Spirit, Lord, you bring them along gently. Lord, You restore them gently. Lord, which is Your way, which is Your nature. Lord, You're not harsh, You're not overbearing, You're not berating, but Lord, You bring people along gently. And Father, when you correct gently. And so, Father, we ask this morning, Lord, that you do Your work in our hearts. Lord, today will be a changing day for some people. Lord, today will be a day where, Lord, there's going to be a weight lifted off people's hearts as they make a decision, Lord God, just to trust and to relax in the situation that You've placed them in, whether it be in any sphere of their life. We ask for Your help. In In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Thanks, Ben. We appreciate that. Two things I want to say about that is, firstly, because of Ben's submission under the hand of God, his story hasn't been finally written, where God will take him and what he will do in his life. But he has such a great heart. Here he preaches on our stage, but probably next Sunday he'll be serving coffee, vacuuming the floor, doing whatever. It's a great heart to have, and God honours that. The second thing is, I'd like to say, we need to consider eternity. We often look just to this life and things that happen to and fro, but God is doing a preparation work in us that goes on forever. And so, and I constantly say, the condition you leave this earth is the condition you have in heaven. Now, I know it will be different there, but we don't all just get transformed into something so different. So let God prepare you. Go through the challenges that you may go through in this life. Honor those whom God has placed you to work for, whether it's in business, in school, in church, whatever it might be. Let God promote you in due season, because he tests you. Let me just give you one example. James Hensley, who pastors a great church down in Brisbane now, he was working part-time as a chaplain, and I said to him, come work with us, and he did. And I said, and the income you're going to get is you're going to clean toilets in the school. And he grumbled and complained about that at the time. Not to me, he didn't say a word to me, but he was talking to some others. Somebody wisely said to him, don't you think God's testing you, James? Got a different attitude to the matter. Look where God's taking him now. He's going to do a great work for God. So just keep your hearts open, folks. Let God work in it, and may God bless you. This is going to be a great week. Pastor Ben Nitoko is going to be with us. Is he? Kane stepped out for a moment. But do you know if he's preaching one of the nights? Do we know what night? You're not sure. We'd have to come all three nights just to make sure where you get Ben. No, he'll probably be, I'm guessing, probably on the Thursday night. So by all means, come along and hear Ben. But we've got another great speaker as well. So come at night. The thing I want to encourage you in this, it's good to see what's happening in the lives of young people. Jack's dad said to me one time, we went to a church in Brisbane because we were going away. And he said, seeing all the young people in this church has restored my faith in the church. Because he'd seen some things in South Africa he wasn't totally happy with, and young people weren't going on for God. He said, this restores my faith in the church. So that makes it a good reason to serve God by teaching kids in Sunday school, in Fire Zone, and by encouraging them. Amen. Okay, let's go and have a great week in God. God bless you. Have some morning tea before you leave. If you're visiting, I would love to say hello to you before you leave.